Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
There it is. Yeah.
For f- sake, boys. Rick climbed inside the dishwasher.
I was wondering why your dishwasher was open.
I left it open so I would remember to empty it before Alex got home.
That's different when there's a dog.
I know. That. Yeah, that's a reality I just have not really been prepared to deal with. Is it like, dude, I feel like, honestly, you would have good dog tip. Wait, we're recording? I'll say this later. Never mind.
How many emails we got?
Three.
All right. I watched Amanda's dog a few times.
Yeah, I was gonna say, in the last year, I feel like you've probably picked up some training tricks that work well with dogs.
Yeah, man, you just gotta tire them out.
I mean,
feed them, tire them out. It's all the same.
Yeah. Now he's ringing his bell to go out and looking at me.
All right, with that said, are we ready to get going?
Yeah.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Mr. No Longer Home episodes. I'll be the host of this here podcast. My name is Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, thank you. He's down in the bottom square today, hydrating with the big water. He's got a can of soda water. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Well, boys, as I mentioned off cast, I watched the dog for the first time today, and, well, it's been a struggle. So I'm good. We're here for it. And, you know, a little worse for the wear.
Look, the main thing is just keep it alive. All right. I'm dead serious. I've dated many girls with dogs, but you make sure that dog's okay. All right, up there in the upper left, getting the studio all set up, Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
All right, first of all, did you guys know we had won a war? A war that we lost a lot of battles in, boy.
No, I didn't.
Well, they haven't called them tots. Now they're calling them fry tots or something, but they are no longer Mexi fries at Taco Time.
Wow, dude. Okay, man, I feel like, is it crazy to say we played a part in that? Is that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, in the end, I hate to give credit where credit's due. I think it was more of the branding of Mexi fries.
Yeah, I was going to say PC culture.
But
I will say, today,
and then Mike brought it up, but I was like, what? Like, oh, we won this one. We've been arguing with them for years.
They're tough.
Chalk went up for the boys. That's, you know, that's the thing. I feel like, weren't we in like a Twitter spat with them at one point over that too?
We were going back and forth with them.
I think I'll say this from, you know, in light of 2022, with 2022 glasses on, that's a pretty bad name for a product. But in 95, like, I always thought that was a genius move because they took tater tots, somehow rebranded them into everyone buying meals, and just people were just like, oh yeah, these are Mexi fries. Like, that's just a real thing. They didn't invent this to get more money out of us or anything.
All right. So now they're calling them tater fries. I don't know why they're obsessed with the word fries. And Taco Tom, we love you. Like, we love your tots. I'm just like, I don't know, man. They sure look like tots to me.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah.
Fries are made of potatoes, which tater stands for fries. Or tater stands for potato. So fries are already tater fries.
Those are
tater tots.
You could make that argument about a lot of different things. I feel like from the food branding marketing side, since I've done a little bit of, I see it. I know we all know the game they're trying to play, but the fact of the matter is getting tater tots as a side to your meal sounds ghetto. That sounds cheap. That's like at a bar. You're like, oh, I guess I'll get the tots. They're like $4, right? But Mexi fries, that's something else. Now kind of in between name. I don't know if I like it, but if you couldn't call them tater tots, like what would you guys go with?
I don't know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Small potato rounds. I mean,
tater chunks.
And you could be right. Cause maybe Orida owns the rights to tater tots, but I go to a lot of different restaurants. They have tots on there. I feel like tater tots were always like what you ate at school. And then in the last 15 years, they become like cool and hip. And they're everywhere.
Oh, yeah. My argument. Go ahead.
I'd spell it with a Z. I'd say tots with a Z.
Dude, my argument is not that somebody owns the rights to the name tater tot. I think someone probably does, but I bet it's like ubiquitously used. It's like an apple. My argument is that tater tots sounds kind of cheap as a side. And so you're like, oh, I'm getting like, you know, tacos, and then they're giving me some random tater tots, versus like fries are sort of a generally accepted side. So I feel like they were trying to half step and throw like a fade move with the Mexi fries, like a hesitation, you know, where people are like, okay, like I'll just, you know, accept this new reality. But now they're kind of caught with their hand in the cookie jar, so to speak.
But what's to me, like if you have a potato product, whether it's fries, tots, or whatever, what's the one word you add in front of it to make it seem fancier and better?
Well, I think the palm for like Belgian, like palm frite. Is that what you're talking about?
Shocker. Again, Cobb's overthinking it. Seasoned. You put seasoned on there. So now you're not getting a side of tots. You're getting a side of seasoned tots. Mexican seasoned tots. Taco Time inspired seasoning.
Ted, look, you know, that might work on the 40-year-old bachelor living on Capitol Hill. I don't know that the discerning, you know, 50-year-old suburban moms in Wallingford or Bellevue would feel the same way.
I mean, you're at a drive-thru. Let's not over. I mean, come on.
That's true. But Starbucks has drive-thrus now. They weirdly kind of made them classy, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't think if you're getting... I don't know. I don't think tater tot is I don't know why they're stuck on the word fries. They're not fries. That's
true. They clearly are not.
Right. You call
more of a palm frite.
Any potato product. You're right. You're right. Palm frites would be fancy, but that's another level. I'm just saying you have fries, you have like tater tots. And I'm like, how about a seasoned fry? You're like, yeah, I'm in.
You're right. That is kind of a half step. I mean, I feel like even, you know, Red Robin is like beloved for their seasoned basket of fries, bottomless. Yeah.
You got to have something. You got to put an adjective near it.
Yeah, I think that's true, dude. I feel like I don't even know what an adjective it is. Is seasoned an adjective? What is an adjective? That's something that modifies.
Well, it's a descriptor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? There's adverbs. Seasoned
fries is an adjective for a noun.
Yeah, so it modifies a noun, like a seasoned fry. Yeah, that makes sense. Wow. Ted, dude, where did that come from? Jesus.
Right here. We're just talking about it. How do you make it fancier? Seasoned.
It's like adjectives. That's how we make it fancier.
All right. So it's funny. We all saw, I assume we have. Jesus, Bob, tell me you've seen what happened at the Oscars.
Dude, you're like freaking Kanye over there. Like, was your mom an English teacher? Adjectives. I haven't heard that word in 20 years. was just baller. That was honestly, I'm impressed. That was a baller drop. Like, I kind of took a shot at you being a bachelor, and you're just like, well, boom, adjectives. Take that, marketing degree. Wait, have I seen this?
You have a dog crawling inside of an open dishwasher. Like, why don't we ease up on the calling names here, calling shots?
Dude, yeah, literally, I don't know if it'll get cut from the cast, but literally, as we were opening this up, so I'm watching my girlfriend's dog for the first time solo. She flies back in tonight. She's been gone for a week, and we had to get like a full-time dog sitter. As I'm getting on the cast, I'm like, hey guys, sorry, it's been a stressful day. I'm watching this dog. He's actually ringing the bell right now to go out. And then I was like, oh, S. I ran over and he's like literally inside of my dishwasher. So like, it's not going well. It's a stressful day here at Casa de Cobb. I'll just say that. So you're right, Ted. If ever there was a day to not be casting stones, it's today. You guys can take a lot of cheap shots at me, but I appreciate it. So you're asking me about the awards, the Will Smith incident.
Okay, I'm just making sure. So sometimes I bring up stuff that's been all over everywhere, and you're like, I don't know, man. So here's the deal. Before we even get to that, though, I had written as my first topic this week was a bar fight, because I saw somebody last weekend get punched at a bar. And ooh. I was like, holy cow. Like, it's been years since I've seen somebody actually throw a punch in a bar. So then,
can you talk about Jada Smith?
Right. Well, so then you piggyback that with what happened on Sunday night at the Oscars. It's just like, holy cow. Like, I get a bar fight, but like, I can't take Will Smith's side on this one. Like, you just going to walk up stage and smack a dude for telling a joke?
Wait, real quick. I got some thoughts on Will Smith too, but how do we glaze over this bar fight? Were you party to it?
What? I mean, I wasn't involved. I was just in the bar at last call and saw it.
And like two dudes, was there any prelude or dude just, you know, sucker punched another guy?
They were kind of sitting near each other and like Sean was singing a song and I'm like, you know, it's last call. I'm feeling no pain. I'm like pumping my arm. It's some stupid song. And then it's just like, oh, what happened? Oh, well, that dude just got punched. They were just like talking. And the one, I don't know if they knew each other. It just seemed like the one guy was just like, all right, I'm tired of this. And just punched.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang, that's rowdy. What kind of Ted? God, I always just wonder. Like, I feel like people at home probably feel the same way. But I have so many questions about your life sometimes. And even when I interrogate you, I never like what are you doing at a bar where people are getting in fights? You know, it's just like that's awesome.
If you must know, we were over there as we were drinking banana gorillas.
See, like that's and just like. God, man, that sounds awesome. I would love a banana gorilla. Oh, like Ted's out at 2 a.m. drinking banana gorillas, classic Ted Smith.
Dude, those banana gorillas are so good. They're super strong. That's like the thing, like you can only have one, but man, they get you going.
Wait, so you said you can't take Will Smith's side. What are your thoughts on the whole incident?
I think it's outrageous. Like you're at an event. You obviously know Chris Rock. You could go up to him afterwards if it's that big of a deal. But I honestly feel like this came out of like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith have been putting all their business in the streets for 2 years, telling everybody about their personal lives. And I think Will Smith is tired of it, which I don't blame him. But it just seemed like it came out at the wrong time. And then 10 minutes later, you have an acceptance speech for Best Actor talking about your vehicle of love. It's like it was just the most insanity thing I'd seen in a long time. Like you can't sit there and talk about love. Like you literally just smacked a dude 10 minutes before that on worldwide TV, one of the biggest events in the world.
Yeah. I felt like, first of all, I mean, okay. That is a professional comedian. They know how to rip somebody apart. Oh, did we lose Ted?
Oh.
Okay. I've got him back.
Maybe. Yeah.
So that's a professional comedian. Like, they know what the hell they're doing. And there were a million angles he could have taken to get to Will Smith. I feel like he took the most benign, easiest joke, which is just like, you know, what was it about? Like, sorry, the dog's going freaking crazy.
I blinked out there for a while. I don't know if I missed you guys.
No, yeah, you're good. You're good. Yeah. So, you know, as far as like, it's not like that joke was a cheap shot. I mean, that was a pretty obvious low bar, you know, laughable joke, like, you know, easy, a G.I. Jane joke, like no big deal. For, given what they've been through this year, like he could have destroyed, filleted Will Smith, no problem, from all the stuff that's been in the media about their family or whatever. I felt like he took the high road and made a really light, easy joke because they happen to be, you know, in the front row. And so it's just like, yeah, for Will Smith to have that kind of overreaction, I feel like there's a ton of insecurity about, didn't she like sleep with some rapper or something at some point? And that was like the big issue. Ted, do you remember?
Yeah. And then they were like, and then the rapper was like one of her son's friends. And then they were on her podcast talking about it. Like, I mean, I respect, like, if you want to talk about that stuff, that's fine. But also like, I don't know. Like, I don't, the whole thing is just bizarre to me. It just, to me, it was just a terrible, terrible look. Like, and I, look, we've all been there. You said a joke or said something that's over the line, and you're like, I mean, sometimes it's even just your buddy pulls you aside and goes, hey, man, don't say that. Like, come on. And you go like, all right. Like, you're right. That was over the line. But to just walk up and smack him and then give a speech about love. I mean, that's the part I can't get over. It's like, then you're, what should have been a crowning achievement in your career is just to be overshadowed by this.
Well, yeah. And the G.I. Jane joke. I mean, that's so obvious given that she has a shaved head. Like that, I felt like is like a very non-offensive joke. You know, he's like, when's G.I. Jane 2 coming out or something like that? Like something pretty, pretty like low brow. I don't know, man. That was a really bad look for Will Smith. And honestly, I feel like what's the boy's name?
Jaden Smith.
Okay. I feel like Jaden kind of started to turn me against the Smiths. With like sort of not being that talented, but being all about like the clout and showing up places and whatever. This is now some people feel like he's talented, but this was like a couple of years ago. And then, I don't know. And then the podcast and then like, you know, Will Smith just like acting like that. I don't know. The Smiths are starting to lose me, boys. I know I'm like a really important fan for them and probably, you know, I don't know, mean a lot to them, but yeah, they're starting to lose me. I'll say it.
I mean, I'm with you, like Mr. Positivity. And then also, like, I agree with a lot of people. Like, is it because it's Chris Rock? Like, I don't know. Would you have said that to The Rock himself? Would you have said it to somebody else? Like, and I get it. Like, we all know now she has whatever the disease is where you lose your hair. But like,
alopecia.
Right.
Like, oh, I actually didn't know that. I just thought she shaved her head.
No. So that's part of the reason he's saying he was so pissed off. And I'm like, okay. But again, feels like something you could say to him backstage.
Yeah, he was a coiled spring for sure.
Matt?
I liked Will Smith's apology. You know, I don't know. No, I mean, I knew it was coming. That was just a little bit of a joke. But I did like what he said in it about like, yeah, he realizes he's in the public eye, jokes are going to be made. Right. And to me, that's the thing. It's like, you can't get up there on stage and smack a guy for making a joke when you're in the front rows of the most televised event of the night. Like, by showing up there, I mean, I've been to just like concerts at the High Dive where there's signs because a band's filming a music video and it's like, hey, you may be in a recording and you'll be on a music video or whatever. Like, this is the Oscars. You know where you're at. You're in the public's eye. You know, yeah. I mean, and my favorite part of the whole thing is when Chris Rock was like, I could have. Like, he stopped himself from being like, I could have gone a bunch of directions there, lady. Like, calm down.
I'm with you. Like, when he says that, he like hesitates. It's like, and then he stops. I'm like, right. He could have gone scorched earth and just started giving him the business, but he didn't. And he kept it professional. So like, all hats off to him. But yeah, I don't know, man. It was just insanity.
Well, that
what got me. Oh, God.
Will Smith laughed initially. That initial shot, he's laughing and Jada's not having it. The next thing you know, he's on stage smacking Chris Rock. But the initial reaction from Will Smith was like, yeah, that's funny. Like, and we all saw it. The cameras were there.
What got me, honestly, was the way he like swaggered off stage. Like, that was like a cool thing to do. That it wasn't the slap. It was like afterwards, like thinking in any universe that that's appropriate to smack another man, especially on national TV, especially the host of that show.
It also just seems weird too. It's like you're up for an award. So like, not only are you like, you're kind of representing the Williams family as well. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's not like, like Richard Williams hasn't had issues before with some people and stuff. Some people didn't like him. And then you're winning an award for portraying the man. And here's an act of violence on a global stage. Like, just all around. It's like, dude, just that is bad news.
Yeah. Also, I'll say it. Like, if you're willing to do it in that public of a sphere, like, tell me that guy hasn't had some domestic violence issues in his life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Not my place to speak on it, but I'm with you. See, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's this. I think the whole thing's weird. I think a lot of it has to do with all the stuff that they've talked about publicly, which, again, if you're brave enough to do it, cool. But the internet's not going to forgive. They're going to keep making jokes. So it seemed like he was just all fired up. And then it is odd that he's laughing about it and then looks at her and then it's like, oh, I got to go smack this dude.
And also, 25 years on, the internet remains undefeated.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing. Like, the other thing is, like, it's comedy. Like, you go to a lot of comedy clubs. Like, I was talking about this today. Like, there's security guards, but they're usually watching the doors. There's not a lot of security between the stage, the comedian, and the crowd. Like, I hope people, like, if some dude starts doing crowd work and cracks a joke on a guy or a girl, like, are people think it's okay to just go smack a comedian? It's like that. No, it's not.
Yeah, physical violence, never the answer, especially in that situation. Especially, Will's a professional, man. I mean, it just, you know, I wouldn't hate. I'm against cancel culture. I've seen enough of the Smiths in my life. I'm good. I don't need Independence Day 4, okay? I don't need it. I'll just say that right now.
Well, listen, I think we go through this enough. If people don't like him as much, again, that is not cancel culture. I don't care for that term, period. Because I think it's way overused and people just throw it around. But it's like, right, if you lose fans because you're smacking another dude, like, okay, that's not cancel culture. That's just people seeing you, what you did. You know?
Is this because you got canceled for the trash compactor thing?
Right, I've said a thousand times. Like, right, like Aaron Rodgers. Good call. Cancel culture. Joe Rogan. Oh, good call. Like, as you count hundreds of millions of dollars, like, you know what I mean? So like, mm-hmm. You could say, hey, I'm not a big fan of the Smiths. It doesn't have anything to do with quote unquote cancel culture.
Mm-hmm. Wait, actually, I'm curious now. I don't think I quite understand the distinction. You're saying you don't agree with the term cancel culture or with people doing it or what? We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. I don't care about it.
Who's getting canceled? I hear a lot of people bitching about it. Who is getting canceled?
Oh, I see. You're saying like people will say like, oh, this guy got canceled and then they're like laughing all the way to the bank, basically. Like they're still doing fine. Is that what you mean?
That, and I don't like, a lot of times there's just criticism against what somebody says or does. And it's like, oh, it's the cancel culture mob and this and that. Like we talked about with Aaron Rodgers, like there's no cancel culture mob. You lied. And then you got all defensive about it. Like, it's okay. Like, I don't care. Again, his decision, he did not have to be vaccinated, but you know what I mean? Or like with Rogan, it's like, you have the biggest podcast in the country. You get paid hundreds of millions. Like, oh, the cancel mob's coming for me. It's like, also like, who cares? Like, there's a bunch of people on Twitter that don't matter at all. It's like, so if you're trending for a day, doesn't mean you're getting canceled. But like, it's not just you. Like a lot of people throw that term around. I'm like, okay, can we like, okay, if we're going to keep saying it, like where are these prime examples of people that have lost everything?
Dude, you know, it's funny because I actually agree with you. I'm in your camp, but since you ended it with where are these prime examples, you served me up a slow pitch down the middle and I cannot help but swing, which is, do you remember the guy who he was a alt-right-wing guy? He was everywhere, like every news media outlet. He was getting interviewed. He did a speech at UW. He's done like, he was like the keynote speaker for all of those events. And now he is on QVC selling knives. And that's, oh no, no. What's the Christian QVC? He's on like the Christian version of Home Shopping Network and Milo Yiannopoulos. You guys remember that guy?
Yeah.
That is my only example that I can give. And I actually am in your camp, Ted, but that guy was like legit cut off of every social media platform and any sort of stage.
Yeah, because he's a white supremacist.
Canceled white supremacist. Oh, okay. This is my only point.
I have no issue canceling white supremacists or Nazis. Sorry, that's not canceled. I mean, that's just, you don't get to do that stuff. So I'm just saying, there's a lot of people that are always like, oh, cancel culture coming for this, cancel culture coming for that. Like, right, but it doesn't really happen. Like, who was the one back in the day? Paula Deen. Like, right, just go away. Go away for 6 months and come back. Like, it's America. Yeah. Nobody's going to care. But when I hear people that are making millions upon millions, like the cancer, the woke mob's coming for me, it's like, shut the fuck up.
And by the way, Paula Deen is doing fine. You ever heard of Paula Deen's like lumberjack challenge or whatever?
Milo didn't know what he was. He was catering to a group of people he thought would like him, right? And then hasn't he now, like, he's like, oh, I'm not really gay. That was just a phase. Like, yeah, like that guy's gone. Did he? Don't care.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. He's definitely gone though. And it's my only example. But yeah, Paula Deen has like a lumberjack, like, show that they put on or something in like Paula Deen, like it's like the equivalent of like Paula Deen's world. Like, she's doing great. I haven't seen or heard a lot about her, but she's doing fine.
Right. So I mean, don't worry. You don't have to worry about the culture. If you're on this podcast talking about white supremacy stuff, like that, Matt and I'll just get rid of you.
Done. Bill Mickelson's currently canceled.
For what?
All his sponsors dropped him for saying some stuff about the Saudi Arabian regime that's trying to do some sports washing in the golf world with the tour.
What's sports washing?
Well, it's where
he lost his sponsors because he said something they didn't agree with. Like, it's not, here's the problem is that actual people in actual jobs, you screw up, you're going to lose your job. I guess that's my massive issue with the, well, it's not, it's not cancel culture. It's like, that's not a real fucking thing that's happening. I don't know why we keep using that term. Like, I'm not going to feel bad for Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson didn't have to work another day in his life, and he could still play on tour. He could still make money. He chose to take a stance, and his sponsors disagreed with him.
That's a good point. Yeah, rumor has it he's on a silent suspension from the tour for who knows how long. We'll see how it plays. Like, that one's in progress. He could get his sponsors back once this whole thing cools down a bit. You know, Tiger comes back at Augusta. Hey, okay, yeah, we'll get you back in there, Phil, now that the news cycle's moved a little bit. So that's why I don't want to say anything too definitive at the moment.
Right. Well, Phil Mickelson, and look, I don't agree with what the tour is doing with him, but right. He spoke out against the tour, and the tour was like, all right. I mean, that's why, when you only have one option, it's not great.
He's trying to leverage the tour. He was saying some stuff they thought was off the record. But yeah, he was also talking smack about his employers.
Well, look at what happened with the Washington Commanders, right? Now, John Gruden, right? There's a whole court case involving the Commanders.
AFL?
The Commanders? No, it's a football team.
Yeah, AFL is not football. It's not that other league or whatever.
No, it's
no, it's the name of an NFL team.
The newest name of an NFL team in Washington D.C. Yeah.
Washington football team. They're the Commanders now.
Oh, all right. Wow. Wait, I thought they were just the Washington or whatever. Okay. All right.
So my point is there's a lot of bad stuff in that court case, but we only found out about Gruden because he was, now granted, Gruden, I'm not excusing anything he said, but he was also talking trash on the commissioner. So the NFL leaked those memos and then Gruden lost his job, right? But you got to wonder, like, what else is in there? But there's a lot of other stuff, but that's only, so there's only one NFL. So John Gruden's kind of in a bind. I think Phil Mickelson's in the same way. There's only one PGA. There's other tours across the world, but he talked against the big dog, and the big dog was like, well, yeah, I mean, look, I prefer there's more competitive leagues. That's what's nice about soccer. There's a ton of competitive leagues all across the world, and you know what I mean, like, if you talk trash in a Prem League and they kick you out, like, all right, I'll go play in Serie A or La Liga, or you know what I mean, like, take your choice.
Yeah, having a refined skill set with only one employer is tough, like the UFC. Well, yeah. I feel like I was brought here. I was put on this earth to do this podcast for one reason. That's to cause controversy. So I'll say it. Putin is canceled. His whole economy is canceled.
Dude, those oligarchs are going to cancel him hard.
Dude, did you hear Roman Abramovich got poisoned?
Yeah.
That's like that. Dude, the photos of that other guy who was like supposed to be the leader of Russia or whatever who got poisoned are horrific. I don't know that guy's name, but we don't have to talk about it. It's wild.
The bottom line is this. You can't just go around smacking people.
Right. And me and Ted are in charge of canceling people and we cancel Putin.
Yeah, I'm fine with that one. I don't think he's ever really in on this podcast.
Putin lessons, man.
All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back and do some emails. What's Matt and in the cop topic? All right, welcome back. Thank you to our sponsors as always. Without them, we couldn't do it. All right, Cobb, do we have some email?
Yeah, man, these laptops and microphones really. They're expensive.
I'm not sitting in a chair. I'm sitting on a throne of cash.
Oh, man. All right. Okay. Of course, now the laptop decides to go crazy. All right. Girls, girls, girls. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Here's some humble thoughts from a like-minded man and consummate observer. It's not the sex tapes, but it's definitely tied to that pendulum swing. Girls will always want what they can't get. So there will always be a swing to what they like. Men, well, we are just simple creatures, as proven by the Ted versus Cobb preference. We like what we like, and for a few years at a time, we get our fantasies front and center. Baywatch / Home Improvement and the rise of Pam definitely was the start of that swing that included Ted's favorite, Rosie Perez. Then by the end of the decade, you had Paris and the rail thin girl was coming back. Then girls got a little thicker over the decade. Then in the 2010s came and gym girls arrived. Hallelujah. Male and female gym rats take 3 to 5 years to reach their goals. So things were about to change going into 2019. 2020 threw us a real wrench in the works. So some of those gym rats put on the pounds and those are some nice thick curves. And others doubled down and Jesus, they got some crazy bodies and they're making bank on OnlyFans now. Plastic surgery is definitely on the rise. So 10 years from now, it might be a bit scary in 2028 when they need those touch-ups and can't afford them. F1. First of all, that was a great rant. You guys want to talk about that before I go into the rest of it?
Nah, he's right. I didn't even think about that.
Nailed it.
Changing their body types, right? It does take years. So like that makes sense. And plastic surgery is a huge part of it, right? Like, and even just tiny little things, right? But like, I feel like, I don't know. Like there's a lot of women, like I know they talk about, like they get Botox and stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's definitely changing.
I don't want to slow down incoming emails because we have a whole segment about it, but that's the sort of detailed breakdown and analysis of like, we had no idea we were going to talk about that. You know, we're just talking in the mics on the spot. And then somebody else comes in, does a little bit of research, does a little bit of thinking. And is like, hey, got this to add. Great job on the first part of that email.
Yeah. Honestly, that's the kind of thing we stand for on this cast. I will say he's sure. Right. He is an informed listener. This guy knows what he's doing. Okay. Also, I like how he spelled Jesus, Jaysus, intentionally for emphasis. Jesus, boys. All right, F1 or Formula One, my prediction is there won't be a midfield and the top five will only be split by 50 points. It's going to be a wild one and it may turn out that Danny Ricciardo and Canadians are the bottom three drivers. Oh, I'm sorry. Danny, Rick, and Canadians are the bottom three drivers looking for new jobs next year. Well, not Lance because his dad owns the team. And I'm on the Ted train. Shoot me in the dome. Make it a one and done. LARP. All right, LARPON, Scott, the friendly IT guy. See you at the roast.
I mean, he's exactly right, dude. Like, I watched the race this weekend. Yeah, it doesn't look good for my guy, Daniel Ricciardo, and the McLaren boys. Like, but it is nice. Like, Verstappen won, but Ferrari's really good again. So it does look like there's a real competition. right? Because the last few years, right, it's just been all Lewis and then Red Bull. And then, yeah, I mean, competition's good. That's what F1 wants, right? They got all these new eyes.
And yeah, they do have the new eyes. Is that Magnuson. Miami race going forward?
Yeah, it's happening this year.
And then it's going to be in Vegas. They're going to have a Vegas one. I saw this.
Really?
Go on public streets, including parts of the strip.
That's awesome.
I haven't seen that, but the one in Miami is a street race.
Wow, Vegas. I want to see. Vegas would be fun to watch.
I get all the Google notifications about F1 now, so I'm pretty.
Vegas would be awesome, too, because there's so many hotels. Like, I mean,
you can see everything. Yeah.
Right. You could just rent a room, make sure it's on the strip, and just sit up there and watch the race.
Yeah.
Ted, we could do that.
That's what I'm saying.
We should do that.
Like, right. Like other places, it's super expensive to get like a hotel like that looks over their track. But I'm like, Vegas, there's enough hotels. We could pull this off.
Every hotel looks over the track, probably. God, that's awesome. Dude, that's so doable. I love it. All right. Nice, Matt. Good find. Yeah. Hey, boys. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
A few long years back, I was injured and had to undergo reconstructive surgery on my ankle. I wasn't able to do my normal job, so my employer assigned me to something else. I spent 8 hours per day alone in a confidential records vault, entering data into an Excel spreadsheet for 4 months. It was brutal, and I nearly went insane from boredom. That's when I found the podcast. The first episode I ever listened to was the episode where you boys talked about your first ever Burning Man. Nice, boys. We're competing against data entry and spreadsheets.
More exciting.
I haven't missed an episode since. I also listen to the Men's Room every day, either live or on the Audacity app. And I also never miss an episode of the Megacast. If an outsider ever took even a casual look at my life, they would probably think I'm obsessed with the Ted Smith. And hell, boys, maybe I am.
I love it.
I've never emailed before, but I wanted to let you know what I think is a great song to scream along with from the Cobb Topic. Hopefully I spelled that right. Yes, you did, sir. Cobb with two B's. Topic from two episodes back. That song for me is Blind by the band Korn. That song has so many great screamable moments, but for me, the intro is the best of them all. A funky bass, heavy, slow buildup that continues to build until Jonathan Davis screams, "Are you ready?" Oh yeah.
That's a good one.
That is actually, dude, I didn't know what he was talking about until I read that line. I'm like, oh yeah, I totally remember that. Followed by an absolute sonic assault from the band. I've seen Korn many times live, and every time they play that song, the crowd is so loud that it completely overpowers the band through the speakers. It gets me so effing hyped up every time I hear it. If I was a professional fighter or wrestler, it would absolutely be my walkout music. I love the Cobb topic as it's always something that encourages me to think and maybe even dredge up some old memories, which is awesome. If I may, can I propose the Cobb topic? Let's see. Oh, okay, cool. I got it. I'll use that as the Cobb topic today. Anyway, keep up the good content, boys, and hope to get to hang with you again sometime at another Pain in the Grass in the near future. Keep kicking ass. Cheers, your boy, Aaron.
Nice.
That's good advice.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Odyssey.
Audacity? Odyssey?
Odyssey.
Odyssey. That is an interesting spelling for that word. Gotcha.
Yep.
Message received.
I have an Odyssey putter.
All right. God damn it. Yeah, one more. Good.
Scream out loud lyrics. Hello to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Matt, get ready to hit F8 or write down the timestamp on where to edit. I wanted to weigh in about lyrics to scream out loud to. One of the two I thought of is Killing in the Name Of by Rage Against the Machine with the repeated phrase, "Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me," repeated 16 times. Hopefully I'll get to see them next year in Tacoma with Run the Jewels. Dude, they're playing with Run the Jewels? That is, wow.
Yeah, Matt's buddy, like, I Venmo'd him, like, we had floor seats.
Yeah, we still do.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's going to be sick, boys. Nice pickup. Jesus. That is a killer back-to-back. Different genres, too. Wow. That's a lot of crossover, though, with the fans, I bet. Thank you, Ted, for getting me into that band. Another one was Blind by Korn in the beginning when Jonathan screams, Are you ready? Are you ready? 28 years later, that song is still so good. You need to see their performance at Woodstock 99. And when the band kicked in, that wave of people jumping up and down was so insane. I'll attach the video below in case anyone has never seen it. Steve, I haven't, and I'll watch it as soon as we finish this. Ted, Top Gun Maverick is now scheduled to be released on May 27th. And if you want to wait, it should be streaming on Paramount Plus probably 2 or 3 months after it's released. Then again, I don't work in the movie business, so don't take my word for it. Hi, Matt. Miss you, bud, and Devils Hunt Me Down. Stevie, the Packers fan.
Stevie has good points. You know what? I mean, I can't even remember the last movie I saw in the movie theater. Either way, like Maverick Top or Top Gun Maverick, I might go see that on the big screen. That's the way Top Gun should be enjoyed.
Oh, yeah, dude. If you're hitting me with like an F-22 and turning on the afterburners, like I want the real sound, you know?
Oh, all right. Well, let's check in with what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Before we get to what's Matt,
what's good? What's Matt?
Check out what's Matt.
What's good? What's Matt?
Before we get to what's Matt.
Check out with what's Matt.
Yeah, I had a good weekend. It's kind of relaxing and like productive with chores and stuff. And then actually, it was. But also yesterday, I went to Bed Bath & Beyond and I just got a couple of like little shelf rack things. And man, if you're a dude whose side of the counter is if you just leave a wreck and, you know, you go get your girlfriend some organizational supplies, that is like an underrated power move in a relationship, boys. Like that was great. So, just got some stuff handled. And then, we went to, there's a local stand-up festival at a brewery on Saturday that we checked out for, man, a few hours. I mean, it was going all day. It was pretty crazy. It was already underway when we got there. I think it went from like 2 PM till 10. And, you know, all the comics are cracking jokes about how weird it is doing comedy in the daylight. And it's kind of weird to be an audience member in the daylight too, but it's still fun. We had a great time. There's some funny comics in this town. Met another Black Republican. So shout out to George, but also, you know, I ran into another cool guy down here. His name's actually Brandon. it was great. But we had made a couple friends and we went to a show that was local there a couple weeks ago and all the same comics were there. And so, yeah, just chatting with some people and having a good time laughing about comedy most of the day. Saturday, Sunday, played golf. Played all right. Just kind of relaxed and then came home and did all the chores that I was like, man, how do these weeks keep flying by? Like, it's almost April already, boys.
Yeah, it'll be April, right, end of this week.
Did that sneak up on both you too?
Oh yeah,
that's crazy.
The it's weird. January, February, like I'm just like, where the hell did those 2 months go?
For real.
Yeah, usually those seem like the longest months.
Yeah, that's. I mean, hey, yeah, that's great. If for Seattle too, like I don't know. I mean, I love everybody up there, and I'm just down here in the sunshine. But it's just like blurring by. So I'm glad to hear that that's the same case there. Because yeah, I remember those two being long months, and so. Awesome. I'm loving it. Work's going great. Having a lot of fun. And it's been a hell of a week. So I'm just glad to, you know that there's a pretty good stand-up scene down here. Like, I mean, it's kind of that open mic level. There's not a comedy club. It's like a legit comedy club.
Now, and plus, like, you're so close to LA, like there's gotta be a ton of talent in that area.
Yeah. And people drive back and forth and stuff. But, you know, there's no actual comedy club, but like pretty big names like Andrew Schultz. And then Bill Burr was supposed to be 2 weeks before Andrew Schultz, but then Bill Burr got COVID. And then he rescheduled to the same night as Andrew Schultz. That was brutal. But like the casinos here, actually, Chris Rock's going to be here in a couple weeks. I don't want to hear what he has to say.
Just don't hit him, dude.
Yeah. No, I mean, I want to go be a well-behaved audience member for him. Like, you know, and yeah, maybe other people won't want to sit in the front row. I could get one of their tickets. You can crack all the jokes you want, Chris. No smack policy.
All right. Let's see. I forgot to mention this earlier. You brought up April. We won't have a podcast next week. We got some time off, so I'm not sure I'm going to be home on when we tape this. But then also, because I have you two sitting here, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, F1's in Australia. So for Matt and I, that's a Saturday night, 10 p.m. start.
Melbourne?
Is it in Melbourne?
Probably. The track was right by my house.
All right, it's got it. That's got
I don't.
It.
And do they have multiple races there? That's the only thing I didn't know. Ooh. I know there's a track in Melbourne.
I'm not sure. I just was fired up. I was like, a 10 o'clock Saturday night? Like, that's awesome.
Not this like, Saturday, I can do
stuff
one?
All during the day and then sitting on my couch, like, in.
Oh, yeah, dude. And go ahead, Matt.
Oh, well, I was just thinking there'd be a sports bar with it on somewhere that we could go make friends at that also like F1.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not, honestly,
yeah.
I didn't know what F1 was. I'd never heard of it. And we were at our apartment in Melbourne and we just heard like the like, like that unmistakable sound of a Formula One engine on practice laps on like that Thursday or Friday, whatever it was. And oh my God. So we were about 3 miles, I think, from the track and it was still pretty loud. And so, yeah, we went over and watched just a little bit of what was that? It wasn't even the like qualifying or anything like that. It was like when they're just kind of like, you know, getting the cars out of the, oh, it could have been F2 or something too, but I don't know. It was just like, yeah, it all kind of looked the same to me at that point. I wouldn't really know the difference, but it was impressive.
Yeah. And they, right. There is F2. And then there's also like, they have practice like Thursday and Friday. They have practice, then usually qualify on Saturday.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of just remembering is I was like, honestly, I don't think at that point in my life I would know the difference between an F1 car and an F2 car. So I'm not really sure what I watched, but I know it was loud and it was fast.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
All right. So I realized this now. So this guy said, may I propose an Aaron topic? And I thought he was talking about me, but his name was actually Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. So this will be an Aaron topic. Not to be confused with my name, E-R-I-N. But mutual respect either way. Okay. So let's see. Do I have a lead up for this? Yes. I've been watching a lot of UFC on YouTube, all about Paddy the Batty Pemberton. All right. I feel like he's just hot right now. And, what's the guy with the rainbow hair? I watch him a lot too. O'Malley. He's good. There's a couple stars coming up. But anyway, somehow some crazy transition that got me to thinking if I was in the UFC or a boxer, what would I want my walkout music to be? Now, as a quick aside, Mike Tyson used to come out to the sound of chains being dragged across the floor. I don't know that there's any more terrifying walkout music than that. That's like the guy whose last meal was a pack of cigarettes and a cup of black coffee. So anyway, the Aaron topic this week is if you were a professional fighter or wrestler, what would your walkout music be? Feel free to email us literally the word email at the with two E's podcast.com. I know we don't make it easy for you, boys.
I mean, mine's pretty easy as I did it once at the Emerald Queen Casino. Mine was shipping up to Boston.
Dropkick Murphys. Ship it up to Boston. Whoa.
We trained so much to just Dropkick Murphys. They're like, we wouldn't listen to that song too much, but like we listen to their CDs, just wore them out, like training. So that kind of was the song. But I will say this. I've seen a lot of, like, not a lot. I've probably seen 7 UFCs in person. And sometimes it is spooky when somebody just comes out to a very slow song. You're just like, what the hell's up with this guy?
Yeah, exactly. Like, think about that Mike Tyson, like, just hearing chains. Like, that's insane. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think of a curveball answer like that, but it would probably most likely be destroy everything by Hatebreed.
That's such a Matt Koch answer. Destroy everything by Hatebreed.
What are you gonna do?
That's awesome, dude. That's perfect. Flawless. Flawless victory.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, like, I don't know. Maybe Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding. Just something so slow, just to kind of mess with people's heads.
Just to throw them. Honestly, yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, I don't know, ones that, because you kind of want the whole crowd to know it and get them on your side, but you also want it to be like something they haven't heard for a while and something they're going to sing along to. Like, initially I was thinking Queen, We Will Rock You, but it's just too soft, you know, like them stomping and clapping their hands would have been cool. But I feel like for me, honestly, yeah, maybe Rage Against the Machine. I don't know. Nothing jumps to mind. Yeah, I don't know. I got to take a pass on this one, boys. It took enough of my remaining brain power from babysitting this dog to just try to have some sort of a backstory for that cop topic that I didn't know was coming. So maybe, that's it. That's all I got. You
can come out to Who Let the Dogs Out.
dude. That's okay. That song
freak me out.
Not cop.
Yeah. Seriously, the dog's still alive. Not in the dishwasher. Weirdly, that song is about, I always thought that was like a party song. That song is about like dudes in the club, like being super aggressive towards women. And they're like, basically like, oh, there was like a great vibe in the club, whatever. And then like somebody let the dogs out and it just like had a weird energy in the club. And it's like dudes just chasing after chicks.
Who let the dogs out?
Yeah. Little known fact. So the dogs is us, boys. That's what I'm trying to say. And everyone who listens to this cast, I want to implicate everybody who's listening right now.
All right. So again, no show next week. We'll be back the week after that. Yeah, there you go. Think about your lead up songs, which you're going to come out and smack somebody to. Will Smith didn't even walk out to a song. He just walked on stage and hit him. All right. From CTV, for Cobb, I'm Lee Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.